All right, 3, 2, 1. Good times, bad hangovers, and a lot of coffee. It's another edition of the Dustin McComas Show on theyak.com. I am, of course, Dustin McComas of orangewoods.com. And I think some people, those Texas fans that are making the trip up to Morgantown this weekend, I think they're going to have a really, really good time. Some of them are probably going to be hungover that next day because there's a lot of fun things to do, and the West Virginia fan base is great. I have relatives that went to school there. It's a fun trip for those people that are making it. But speaking of that trip, I'm joined this week by Keenan Cummings of WVSports.com. He covers West Virginia. He's been covering West Virginia for a long, long time. Keenan, how long have you been covering West Virginia?
About in this job I'm in right now, Dana's first year, the transition between Stu to Dana, but it dates back to when I was in school and even really before that. So a while, let's just say 15 plus years.
Damn, that's a long time. So you and I, we go, our similarities go beyond beards and Pirates baseball. I started covering Texas when I was in school back in 2006. So I'm creeping up on that 15 year mark as well. So man, we are kind of feel like you're my West Virginia brother. You know, you're on the West Virginia beat, I'm on the Texas beat, but we're similar guys. But, just this matchup, you mentioned the Dana, you covered, first started covering them in this capacity when Dana took over. Before we get to this weekend's matchup, what was just the reaction to Dana Holgorsen leaving? Like, from afar, it seemed like he and West Virginia were kind of on shaky terms. I think maybe that they were both kind of tired with each other. Am I right there? What was the reaction to all that?
Yeah, I think it was time for almost a natural break in a sense. You know, West Virginia got to the point where I think a lot of people, whether fair or not, believed Dana had taken him kind of where he was going to take him. You know, he had plateaued a bit. You know, obviously West Virginia had a golden opportunity last year after going in Austin to have a chance to just play for the Big 12 championship. They blew a 17-point lead at Oklahoma State and couldn't close things out against Oklahoma, and kind of found themselves in that same 8-4 area that they found themselves most years in. West Virginia fans aren't used to that. I know the Big 12 is a different animal, but this is a program that's proud. You know, there's a lot of pride in this fan base. They're used to winning. They're used to success. And I think people just kind of felt that, you know, it was time. And Dana, on the other hand, it was a natural break for him because he kind of wanted a contract extension. And it's hard to angle a contract extension when you underachieve. And you obviously have Houston really, really wanting to add him to the program. So it was just kind of a win-win for both parties in a sense, when you look at it from a fan base perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way to look at it. And you know, I applaud the West Virginia fan base for generally speaking, having that outlook. I mean, it's something I tell people that it's really hard to stay at the same place for a long, long time. It's just kind of human nature to, you know, maybe have a letdown or maybe you kind of start overlooking some things, or maybe you think you're better than you are, or things are different than what they truly appear. But this is, you mentioned, this is a West Virginia program that's used to winning. This isn't just a, you know, we had a couple of good seasons in the last 5 years. This goes back a long, long way. So how are they handling this year? You know, you got a new coach in there, a new quarterback. There's, you know, coaching staff that's trying to get their program established, their way and their culture and their sort of way of doing anything, of doing things. How's the fan base and reacting to that so far this year?
Easiest way to put it is fully on board. I think most people understand, you know, the term year zero has even been thrown around a lot by a lot of fans, you know, on our WVSports.com message board at times. Yeah, year zero. No one really knew what to expect coming into this year. West Virginia lost a ton. You know, I talked about that Texas game last year. Most of the guys making plays in that game are gone. It's a whole new cast of characters. Neil knew what he was walking into. You know, it was a program that is kind of a rebuild. I think most fans are happy with 3-1. It's hard to complain at that point with what you had on the schedule. But at some point, you know, I think in a way it's weird because this is a unique fan base. It's kind of been fractured in a sense. Since Rich Rodriguez left, there's been so much infighting and who should be coach, who shouldn't be coach. People were upset with the way that Bill Stewart was hired. People were upset about the way Bill Stewart was pushed out for Dana. You know, people just didn't like Dana. Some people love Dana. And this is the first time since really 2007 that almost all, if not all, of the West Virginia fan base is fully on board. You know, they understand that Neil has a vision, Neil has a plan, and Neil gets it. That's one thing I will say in his defense, even early on. He gets the West Virginia fan base in a way that took Dana several years to kind of get to that point.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think Dana kind of has that reputation and that he's got a lot of people that admire him, but he also has that side that where he can kind of rub some people the wrong way. So year zero is, I think, a great way to put it. I mean, it's difficult for fans sometimes to understand, but these things are often a process. So let's, you know, what is Neil Brown, you know, what does he want this identity to be for this program or even this team? I know it's not going to look this year like it's going to look in year three or year four, but ideally, what would he want the identity of this program to be?
As cliche as it sounds, I sound like, you know, a football coach in a movie, but he just wants it to be a hard-nosed, tough football team that doesn't make mistakes and doesn't beat themselves and has that element of explosion at times. I think that he just wants to play good sound football. He's been really good with his adjustments so far, but really just kind of go out there and don't beat yourself in a sense. Play hard, play tough, that kind of stuff. I mean, like I said, I sound as cliche as can be, but that's his mantra. Everything has a plan. Everything has a purpose under Neil Brown. That's the one thing I've noticed so far is even smaller things. It all ties together. And I think he's already, he was looking big picture from the minute he stepped off that plane from Troy, Alabama.
I look at the schedule and, you know, it's just looking at a schedule and box score scouting will tell you one thing, but obviously you really grow to understand a team when you watch them, especially if you're able to watch them multiple times. I haven't been able to do that. So asking you, where have you seen growth just in these four games? I think if some people, I know a lot of Texas fans and even I wrote about it, you look at the West Virginia schedule and you're like, you know, James Madison was a close game. You know, you escaped Kansas, although I don't think this is the same quite Kansas team that we're used to, considering they went to Boston College and had that win. But where would you say this team has grown the most from game one to the team that's going to take the field Saturday against Texas?
They're just getting better, and that comes with time. I mentioned earlier, this is just a young team, with a lot of inexperience. Even the quarterback, Austin Kendall, he's a redshirt junior, but the guy hasn't played. He's only played a handful of snaps when he was at Oklahoma. I had the unfortunate trivia question at some point of being the only guy to probably back up two Heisman Trophy winners in his career. But he's getting better. The offense is getting better. They're depending on a lot of freshmen, a lot of new faces. And when you have a young football team like that, whether it's by experience or actual class standing, I mean, you know how it is. Some games they look great. Some games they look awful. And it's about finding that consistency. The offensive line is a place you can look at from game one to game four. It doesn't even look the same, literally and figuratively, because they've changed some bodies around. Some guys have gotten hurt, but they're getting a push now. They've done some different things in the run game, make some of those adjustments I've talked about, some window dressing, so to say, to open up some things. But the football team's getting better. That's the one thing that you want to be able to see at any point in the season. You want to try to get better from game to game. And there's no question that from game one, when they struggled against James Madison, they were a much different football team at Kansas. They didn't even play their best at Kansas and still was able to win. And that's something Neil's talked about from day one. You got to be able to, even when you're not playing your best, go on the road. If you're going to go on the road, you got to find a way to win. And they did that. And I think that deserves some credit, especially with how bad they played at Missouri.
Right. Yeah. And that's true. Yeah. That's a definite sign of growth. And it's one thing that's interesting to me about this matchup with Texas is this is Texas' first true road game of the year. So until you see a team go do that, you're not really quite sure how they're going to do it. You know, Texas traditionally in the last few years, it kind of struggled at times with the inferior opponents. Now they're starting to beat those teams more convincingly. Obviously the win over Oklahoma State this past week. But if you're just looking at, you know, offense versus defense, defense versus offense or personnel groups or whatever, is there an area you think that West Virginia can have success, or can they attack, or somewhere they feel really good about the roster in this matchup that they say, hey, we've got an opportunity here to maybe exploit some things to our advantage that can really help us out in this game?
Well, I think you're going to find out about West Virginia's defensive line one way or the other. They've played very well. It's a different kind of scheme. This is not what you've seen out of West Virginia since they've been in the Big 12. You know, the defensive line isn't necessarily placeholders anymore, you know, eating up guys so the second level can make tackles. They're being disruptive. They're attacking behind the line of scrimmage. They have 12 sacks this year, second in the Big 12 right now. I'm interested to see how they hold up. I think they've been a strong point of the defense. Now they're probably going against the best offensive line they've seen all year. So I think if there's any place you look on paper that maybe West Virginia can cause some issues for Texas, is if they're able to get back there and heat up Elger.
What do you think has to happen for West Virginia to potentially pull off an upset? Like, is it a certain player's got to play well? Is it a certain aspect of the team? What's the one thing that they have to do in order to have a chance at the upset?
I think West Virginia's got to win first down on either side of the ball. And I know a first down leads to third down, which is sort of a point. They got to win first down. They've got to try to keep Texas a little bit behind the sticks because the Longhorns are very successful. As you know, it's number two in the country on third down. And if they're able to, you know, tempo them, get into short yard situations, it could be a long day for the West Virginia defense. I think offensively, they got to be able to take advantage of some of the things Texas is dealing with. You know, they have some turnover in the secondary, obviously, due to injuries and some other concerns. And downfield passing has not been a strength of West Virginia so far. They're 4-for-18 on the year with passes over 20 yards. But the four they've connected on have led to good things, three of those touchdowns. So that's something they've worked on during the bye week. Are you going to be able to create those explosive plays? Because Texas can do it. And I don't know if West Virginia can just rely on 9, 10, 11-play drives to try to beat a team as explosive as Texas over and over and over again.
Yeah, you answered my next question as you were talking, just because I think that's where Texas is the most vulnerable is the downfield passing. And if we rewind the clock and say, hey, you know, this Texas defense is going to face Will Grier and David Sills and some of those guys, I think Texas fans are freaking out right now. Does West Virginia have that ability? I know you mentioned some of the stats, but is that a focal point of their offense to where, you know, they would enter a matchup like this and say, hey, we're going to try to test that secondary early with some of this downfield passing game?
Yeah, they can take shots. They're equipped to take the shots. They've got guys that can run. Sam James is probably, I'd say, in the top five, top 10 wide receivers in the Big 12 right now. No one's heard of. Redshirt freshman, he's played really well. George Campbell, a transfer from Florida State, he can run.
Former five-star, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they've got guys that can run. The problem has been connecting. They've missed guys that are open, either on Kendall or the receiver doing the wrong thing or not being able to block it up front long enough. So if they're able to get that together, they can do it. It's just a matter of – we're to the point now in the season where you kind of got to see it to believe it. Talk is cheap.
What would you think is West Virginia's biggest concern heading into this matchup? Like that there's, you know, maybe one thing about this Texas team that you look at West Virginia, you're like, man, they're in trouble in this area.
I think if anybody answers this question differently, they're lying to you at this stage, and it's just stopping their quarterback. How are you going to stop him? I mean, the guy is playing unreal. I mean, I was looking at his numbers the other day. I've watched some games too, but just looking at his numbers, it's crazy. I mean, he's 8.8 per pass attempt, completing 73% of his passes, is over 200 yards rushing, and a lot of that's off scrambling. I think 153 of that's off scrambling. So if the pocket breaks down, he can beat you with his feet. And West Virginia struggled, and that's putting it lightly, with Kelly Bryant. And I think the way Elger's playing is on a much different level than what Kelly Bryant's doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know, you know, you sent me those questions earlier this week about the enemy line story about Ellinger's, you know, rib. And he's done all that and, like, nobody knew he had a rib injury. Well, besides some, I'm sure some people, you know, a few people inside the very inner circle of the program knew. But you would have never guessed that he was dealing with any sort of issue at all. It's just like, oh, this guy's been doing this for 3 weeks with this sort of rib injury. And, yeah, he's playing at a very, very high level. And as we know in Big 12 football, if you've got the quarterback and you've got the offense, chances are you're going to be in a lot of football games. Well, I know you, for a bigger scale here, I know you watch a lot of Big 12 football, obviously covering West Virginia. You see all the teams in the league. What's your take on the Big 12? You know, I look at some of the advanced numbers like S&P Plus and you know, just watching some of these teams with the eyeballs. I think this is a league that's undervalued. I think this is a league that might not have, you know, three, four teams that could be top 10, top 15 types of teams. But there's a lot of teams that are like top 25-ish good in this league. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And I think some of it's been kind of surprising, some of it not. It's the nature of the league. It really – I sound like I have a Big 12 jacket on right now, but they keep themselves up so much. I mean, they really do. You have quality teams every year. I mean, look at Iowa State last year. I think they were an 8-win team, and that was a good football team. And then you look at West Virginia last year, another 8-win team. And when all their players were playing and not setting out of the bowl game, that was a really good team. So it's just interesting. You know, obviously I think it's hard to pick against anybody outside Oklahoma until someone does it. I'm very much of that belief. I used to be basketball the same way. I pick Kansas every year. Just until I see someone else do it, it finally happened. But I think Texas and Oklahoma are probably two of the top five, top 10 football teams in the country. I mean, they're just really impressive.
Switching gears here for those people that are making the trip up to Morgantown and maybe it's their first trip up to that area, or maybe they've done the trip before. I know some Texas fans that like to make this a yearly trip, or not every year, but every year that Texas plays there, because it's a fun trip to make. What are some of your recommendations for Morgantown? If someone's like, hey, like I want a few things that I've got to do, or, you know, a place I've got to eat, or, you know, I've got a tailgate here. What would your recommendations be for those Texas fans making the trip?
Man, all the questions you're asking, this is the most loaded because I could spend 40 minutes just talking about stuff. But
well, it's
a beautiful
time
of the year. It's a beautiful time of the year in West Virginia. Unseasonably hot right now, though. I will say that. It's like 90 degrees right now, which is not common.
Oh, that's not good, because Texas fans were hoping, because it's been about 98 still down here. I think they were hoping for a bit of a cold front up there.
It's supposed to get a little bit colder by game time. I think it's supposed to be 70 on game day. But it's 90 degrees. And but, you know, leaves are starting to turn a little bit. Beautiful fall weather at this point. I mean, I think that anytime you can get outside, there's a lot of options to do outside. And you can do a lot of things on that front. But talking about food, I think you got to go to some of the local spots. Mario's Fish Bowl is pretty good on Richwood. I'd recommend that. It's an old school type building. Kegler's is another popular sports bar. They have plenty of chain restaurants, you know, spread all throughout town. Iron Horse Tavern's a good option. You got one downtown, and you got one up at the Suncrest Center. So you got quite a few places to eat. There will be a homecoming parade. There will be a parade on High Street.
Oh, cool.
Friday, if you're here. Plenty of bars for those that like to drink. And obviously, by your lead-in, I can tell that's part of this. So, plenty of bars. You can go whatever. West Virginia fans are usually really accommodating. I think you'll probably get hit with some horns down, and it's just the way it goes. But I think that overall, West Virginia fans will be really accommodating. I know that most Big 12 fans, when they make the trip, always really enjoy it. And there's a lot of camaraderie and sharing of beverages at tailgates. So it'll be a fun time. I think anybody that makes the trip will be impressed. It's a great football town.
Yeah.
One thing I can say about it. It's just the whole – people don't really get this as much in other places, but West Virginia football is the pro team in West Virginia. Saturdays, it becomes the biggest place in the state. Everyone migrates to Morgantown. You have people that make the trip. From where I'm from, I'm actually from about 2.5 hours away south from West Virginia, or from West Virginia, from Morgantown. You'll have people that will make that trip just to come tailgate, not even go to the game. So it's a really lively environment. This will be a sold-out crowd, so I expect anybody that makes the trip is going to have a really fun time.
Yeah, it always gets glowing reviews from the people I talk to that go up there. And, like I said, I've got relatives. I have a cousin that went to West Virginia, and it just, I think it's a very underrated, football atmosphere, because it's, you know, people don't talk about it enough. I think I should have asked the best way to phrase that question should have been, where does Bob Huggins go to have a good time? Because that's where I would want to go.
Ooh, he could go wherever he wants. I think that, I mean, there's just so many options to choose from. Really, none of them are that bad. You could have a good time going to an Applebee's if you really wanted to. It's all about the people. And I think that, you know, I've seen that a lot. Like when I go on the road for Big 12 games, I kind of remind me, you know, people ask me all the time about the distance between West Virginia and some of these Big 12 schools. The distance, yeah, that's never going to change. I mean, that's obviously not good. But when you compare West Virginia's fan base and the makeup of the fan base, they're nothing like the teams that they were in the Big East with. They're almost identical to these Big 12 teams. Like the people are just remind me so much of West Virginian people.
Now, that's a good point. You know, I think what gets lost sometimes in all these realignment discussions and all those things is, you know, what fan base fit, you know, is best for some of these leagues. And there's like people like to talk about the hypothetical Texas thing and like, oh, you know, Texas go to the Big Ten. I'm like, you guys aren't really like Big Ten fans, you know, and I'm sure West Virginia fans felt like that in the Big East. Like, we don't really like these trips are kind of like this is different, you know, for us. Like we're used to identifying with different styles and types of people, much more so like the Big 12 schools.
Yeah, they're very similar. West Virginia is kind of like a mashup between a Big 12 and an SEC school with their fan base. I mean, they're just rabid. I mean, most SEC fans that make the trip always like, man, you guys should be in the league because they're so similar. But the people, just the style and just the way people handle themselves. Like when I travel out to Oklahoma or went to Austin, you know, obviously it's a little bit more city, but most places are just so similar. It's just, it's crazy to me. It's just, the only thing that's different is you got mountains in West Virginia and flat most of those places.
So we've got to end with a sore subject. What the hell is going to happen with our Pirates?
Oh my gosh. Do we really have to talk about them?
as you know, because you're on Twitter a lot too, and probably follow a lot of the same people, Pirates Twitter right now it's intense, man. You've got columnists trying to, you know, organize something to get the owner to give up the team. And like, it's gotten to the extreme with just the dissatisfaction with whatever's going on with the Pirates and like what's going to happen next. And it's compounded by the fact that you look at the projected rotations for the Rays Astros series and Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton, and Tyler Glasnow are three of the six pitchers. Like, man, like I'm not at the apathy stage with them. I was up there in July, took my wife to PNC Park for the first time and went back to see some family in Ohio. But it's sad, man. It's sad. It's a very proud franchise. And I don't know how it's going to get out of this hole if it's just committed to the same ownership group in front office.
Yeah, it was painful last night watching old ground Chuck pitch. Just because we let him go, you know, gosh, you can make a whole list of things we could talk about on the subject. And it's just, I mean, nothing went right this year. I mean, I guess you could argue Josh Bell, but that's about it. Brian Reynolds, he was pretty good. Frazier's all right. But, man, the strength of this team coming into the season was supposed to be the pitching.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
you got that one wrong.
Yeah, I know. You know, you look at the rotation on paper, and you're like, all right, Talion, and you know, all right, Archer, and you know, Trevor Williams, and Joe Musgrove, and it's just like, oh yeah, we're gonna call it Mitch Keller, and he's gonna, you know, dominate. And it's just like, man, not only that, none of those things really happen. You just look at the rest of the roster, and it's like, oh man, the outfield they were putting out at the end of the season was like a double A outfield at best. It's just, what's kind of the, I mean, is what I read on Twitter or, you know, the coverage from a media perspective, is that kind of the local field there? I say local. I mean, West Virginia is not Pennsylvania, but it's Morgantown's very close to Pittsburgh. Is that the local feel as well that people are just like, they're finally just like totally sick of this stuff?
Yeah, I think it's anger at this stage. It's close to apathy. I mean, I've watched a lot of Pirates games and a lot of bad seasons, and I even didn't watch some games this year, which that's almost unheard of for me. I mean, well, some of that, let's be honest, I'm just going to go ahead and cut through all the BS. Some of that's because I have three kids and they're usually taking up the TV, so I'm following it on my phone. But still, I mean, they'd score six runs and then give it right back in the next inning. And it's just, you saw that so much. It's just, ugh. I get the willies even talking about it, but I do think they made the right decision. I couldn't imagine myself saying this, but I do think they made the right decision to change managers. It was to the point where I think he had lost the team to the point he wasn't getting them back. So maybe, I don't know. I'm not optimistic for next year already. I think it's at least 2 years away, if that.
But yeah.
I think the frustration from a lot of people here, at least locally, is anyone that follows this team understands there's a small window. And they kind of just pissed it away. And now they're trying to make moves when the window's kind of shut.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, there's that one stat of, I forget what year it was when they went to the playoffs as a wild card team. And then they basically, I don't know if it was, if they subtracted money from the salary or if they just simply didn't add anybody at all. But there was one of those seasons where it's like coming off of a playoff appearance, they didn't add anybody. I think that it was like they lost people and they didn't really do anything. And it's just like, I could go on for a while with the nerdy developmental stuff they're doing. And you know, yeah, the hurdle, it's kind of the nature of professional sports. I mean, it's hard to be at one place for a long, long time. I don't put a lot of these issues on him. I think it's a systemic thing. And, you know, hey, it's okay because people can look towards the Steelers, which, oh, God, I don't know if you're a Steelers fan, but they're breaking my heart.
Oh man,
it's bad. Well, let's end with this. Do you got a prediction for this weekend, or is there one thing about this matchup that people aren't talking about that you think they should be talking about?
I'm interested to see how the crowd affects the game. I know the crowd doesn't do anything. It's not going to make a tackle. It's not going to block. But West Virginia has most teams tend to play a lot better at home. You saw that over the years in some of their games with Texas or Oklahoma, outside when Will Greer got hurt, of course. But I'm interested to see what effect that has on a young team, if they get too hyped up, you know, if it helps them. But I think that West Virginia is going to play well in this game. I think it's going to be a close game for a while. But I just think Texas has too much. Until they can slow Ellinger down, I just don't see them doing it. He's just playing too well right now. He would have to be off, or West Virginia would have to have a really good scheme. I picked today, I think, I had Texas 41, West Virginia 27, which I think is a pretty fair score. Would it shock me? Would I be absolutely floored if somehow West Virginia pulled it off? No, because it's at home, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, that's – man, I might have to steal that score prediction. I think you and I are on the same page. I think there are going to be some points, and I think that it's – there's going to be some swings early on. Texas making its first trip to a true road environment this year. West Virginia back at home. But in the end, I think Ellinger in that offense is just going to be too much. I mean, the way those guys are playing right now, offensive line, receiver group, they got a big spark from the running back group against Oklahoma State. They're a force to be reckoned with right now. Well, Keenan, man, I really appreciate the time. I know you're a busy man. I know you guys just recorded your staff podcast at WVSports.com. But what's your Twitter name so people can follow you for coverage this weekend?
At Rivals Keenan, K-E-E-N-A-N.
All right, Texas fans, if you're listening, make sure you follow at Rivals Keenan on Twitter for all the West Virginia insight for this weekend's matchup. And once again, man, I know you're busy. I really appreciate the time. Have a good time covering the matchup this weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.